Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening in. We invite you to look with us in the Gospel of John chapter 2, beginning at verse 1 again. John chapter 2, starting at verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Verses 1 through 11, the Gospel of John, chapter 2. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the way your word teaches us, molds us, shapes us, and encourages us, and empowers us. And thank you, Lord, in a special way for the way the word of God empowers us in our getting to more and more and better to know you, and empowers us in our prayer life, which allows us to walk with you in an intimate relationship. Father, more and more, teach us to pray. Teach us to be the people given to prayer you want us to be, and empower us to be a people who live the life of prayer that you're calling us to live. Anoint us all afresh with the spirit of prayer and communion with you, and help us to live in the secret place, to dwell in the secret place, to travel continually all of our lives in that secret place. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. We do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Let me remind you once again, my email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. And I want to remind you and encourage you, please do email us to get the prayer tool that, in particular, the one that we call Kingdom Prayers. It's a prayer tool that has several prayers that come straight from the Word of God or that are based on the Word of God. I would encourage you to get it to use in your personal walk with the Lord, but also to use as a tool to help you and your family in your time of family discipleship, but also a tool to share with others. Keep in mind, you know, you may recall the time in the Word of God when the disciples, they approached the Lord Jesus and they came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Well, the reality is that's a wise request on the part of all of us, because all of us could use a lot of help when it comes to prayer, in learning more about prayer, being empowered by the Spirit of God to pray more, and to pray more effectively as well. This is one area where we will always be growing if we're wise. We'll always be striving to learn more, to grow more, and to become more effective in our area and in the life, our life of prayer. So I would encourage you to please do email us at jparker@afa.net to get the prayer tool entitled Kingdom Prayers. It's a very helpful tool to have, as I said, to help you, to help your family, and a tool to pass on to others so that you can be used to the Lord to encourage others in their prayer life as well. Again, that email is jparker@afa.net. Please take time to go to our Facebook pages, Hour of Intercession and Hour of Intercession Live, and like them if you would. We would very much appreciate that. And today, as we look into the Word of God, we're focusing on the topic of a life given to God in prayer. Again, a life given to God in prayer. And in the different passages we'll be looking at, again, each one has insights and truths that will help you and encourage you in your prayer life as well. Father, again, we thank you for every believer listening today. Lord, more and more, help us all to grow in our desire to know you better, and our desire to learn to be believers who live lives given to prayer. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of prayer, and help us to know, Lord, that You told us in your word in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, you told us to pray without ceasing. Lord, teach us how to do that and empower us by your Holy Spirit to do that, because apart from you, we simply just don't know how to do it and aren't able to do it. But your Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of prayer, is able to empower us and help us to do just that. So we trust you to help us to do just that. Father, with every passing day, more and more help us to become the effective prayer warriors you want us to be. And anoint us today, help us to learn much and to grow much in our ability to be the faithful prayer warriors you've called us to be. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, we opened up by sharing from a reading from a passage in the Gospel of John chapter 2, the story of the wedding at Cana in Galilee. And of course, the story itself doesn't mention prayer per se, but it's a powerful story and has a powerful lesson and powerful insights about prayer. The story opens up and notice what it says. It says, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. Now, notice it doesn't mention that the mother of Jesus was invited. Now, it doesn't mean she wasn't invited, but for the purposes of our story, the author specifically mentions that Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And keep in mind, one of the very important truths from this story is that, you know, in our lives, we're wise as believers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ to daily, through prayer, invite Jesus into the events, the challenges, the concerns, and the issues of our lives. It's in prayer that we invite Jesus to come in to help us, to guide us, to strengthen us, to work out the details, to help us overcome the challenges we come against. So, again, specifically in this story, though it doesn't mention prayer, it has much to teach us about prayer. Someone was wise enough to invite Jesus to this wedding. Now, it was probably the groom. The bridegroom specifically, the bridegroom that invited him. It doesn't say, but probably he was. But during the wedding, in the course of the wedding, a problem arose. The fact is, during the wedding, they ran out of wine. Now, this was a matter that could cause great embarrassment in that day and time and culture, to run out of wine at your wedding. And the mother of Jesus was there. Again, now notice it didn't say she was invited, but she probably was invited. But she's a very important part of this story, because she realizes when she does learn that there's a problem, she goes to Jesus. Now, why does Mary go to Jesus? It doesn't say that Mary was the wedding planner or was in charge per se. But keep in mind, Mary is the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. And note also this, that Mary, by God's grace, raised Jesus from a baby into a man. And so she knew Jesus. And one of the things she learned, that even though Jesus was her child that grew up under her roof, she and Joseph's roof, she knew that Jesus fixes problems. So she was wise enough that when she saw a problem, and it wasn't even her problem per se, but she was wise enough to go to Jesus, because she knew Jesus can help fix my problems, and Jesus can help fix other people's problems as well. And so she goes to Jesus with the problem that apparently the bridegroom had of running out of wine. And so after she approaches him, she says, they have no wine. Well, the fact is, again, when you listen to Jesus' response, in our culture, to read the response Jesus gave, his response was, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour is not yet come. Even though someone reading that might think, well, that sounds kind of rude on Jesus' part. It's really not. It's just a matter of, again, it sounds that way, but the fact is, Jesus never was disrespectful to his mother. He was never disrespectful to anyone. Jesus always did the perfect will of God. He always fully walked in the perfect will of God as well. And notice, too, Jesus' mother doesn't seem offended at all. In fact, her next response is not one of scolding Jesus or anything like that. Her next response is simply, whatever he says to you, do it. In other words, she seems to feel like Jesus is about to help fix this situation. She seems to quickly react that Jesus is going to help bring a solution to this problem. And of course, he does. Well, again, her words are, whatever he says to you, do it. Now, another powerful truth in prayer is that not only are we wise to take the challenges of our lives, the problems, the difficulties, and the issues we run into, not only are we wise to take them to God in prayer, but as we pray and ask God to help us, to guide us, to strengthen us, to work out a situation, in the midst of your prayer and or after your time in prayer, take time to listen to what the Spirit of God may tell you to do. Because keep in mind, in your prayer life, it's very normal. In fact, it's to be expected that when you pray and ask God to help you, God will give you wisdom to know what you are to do, that is your part. Because typically, again, you have a part to play even in the midst of your time in prayer. For example, don't ever think that God will do for you what you're in position to do for yourself. Say, for example, you might be a student in school and you pray, Lord, help me to do well on my test. Well, that's a good thing to pray. But then you need to study and read and prepare for your test, because if you just pray but you don't read and study, it's a good possibility you're going to flunk. Because remember this, Jesus can stimulate your mind and your intellect and your ability to remember and learn, but he's not going to do for you your part that he's enabled you to do yourself. So you do your part and God is going to do his part. And so keep in mind, live in a listening mode, because as you pray and ask God for help, but be prepared for God to give you directions to do your part in the answering or the receiving of an answer in the midst of prayer. So Mary tells the persons at the wedding, he says to them, the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. And of course, they follow Jesus' direction. There are 6 water pots of stone that were used in the manner of purification for Jews in ceremony. And it says it contained 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus' instructions were, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. They took some of the water, again, that is the water they'd placed in the containers, and took it to the master of the feast, and they followed Jesus' direction. And when it got to the master of the feast, he tasted the water that had been turned into wine, although obviously the master didn't know that at the time. And he didn't know where it had come from. But the master of the feast calls the bridegroom and he says to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You've kept the good wine until now. So in other words, the bridegroom, instead of having a great embarrassment at his wedding, turns out looking really, really good. Why? Because Jesus answered the request of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now remember, it was Mary, the mother of Jesus, that made the request. But remember, again, anytime we ask Jesus for something, we're praying, we're talking to God, and we serve a God that has told us, ask and you receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open. Mary knocked, she asked for help in this situation on behalf of someone else, and God gave an answer, and God worked it out to where, in the end, the bridegroom came out not being embarrassed, but looking really, really good. Well, we're wise to be a people who live lives given to prayer. We're wise to pray about the big things, the little things, whatever the challenges may be in our lives, we should pray about them. Take them to God in prayer. Well, the reality is many times in life, too often, we as God's people, we cry about problems, we complain about them, we talk about them, we talk about how bad things are, but too often we're not taking the time to really pray and give matters to God. We need to be a people that will take the time to pray about the details of our lives, the lives of our members of our families, to pray for concerns and matters in our community, and we're to pray much for our nation, our leaders, and our world as well. Father, thank you for the opportunity you give us to be able to pray about big things and little things and all the in-between things. Help us to be a people that will really take prayer seriously every day. Help us to really take significant time in prayer, knowing that you've called us to be a people. In fact, specifically, you've told us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, you said, pray without ceasing. Lord, we're trusting you to guide us and help us to know how to do that wisely, effectively, and fruitfully. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we look at the topic, A Life Given to God in Prayer. We'll be right back.
No one. the beginning and the end. You're the peace I find within. You're a great God. You are great. You're a great God. You are great.
You are strong and mighty.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no one else like you.
No one can
you
do
are
the things. You're the beginning.
Music of Jennifer Merkel, the song Great God. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic of a life given to God in prayer. And our hope is that you'll be encouraged to become a much more effective prayer warrior that is used mightily of God every single day. Remember, the Word of God tells us in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, it says, redeeming the time, making the most of our time. In other words, we're to be wise stewards of our time. And the Bible also speaks of being good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And, you know, one of the ways whereby we are good stewards of the manifold grace of God is by being believers who live lives filled with prayer. Now, again, keep in mind that's a powerful thought to think that God says that we're actually stewards of the grace of God. Now, how can we be stewards of God's grace? Well, it's through prayer that we distribute, we help to share the grace of God. In other words, all grace comes from God. It comes from His hand. But it's through prayer that we allow that grace to be poured into the world in greater measure. In fact, you might think of your prayer life as being like a faucet. And, you know, if we pray a little bit, it's like your faucet is just dripping, just pouring a little bit of water on a dry piece of ground. But on the other hand, if we pray much and as we walk in obedience to God, the God who has told us to pray without ceasing, as we live a lifestyle full of prayer, it's like you're opening the faucet up wide and much grace, in other words, much water, as if through a faucet, is being poured onto the dry ground of this world. So I want to challenge every listener to become a faucet that's wide open. Ask God to help you to live a life filled with prayer so that the faucet of grace that your life is wide open so that you can pour a lot of grace into this world through your prayer life. Hope that you'll make it that. I hope that that's the desire of your heart. We invite you to look with us in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2 in the New Testament, beginning at verse 1, and it tells us these words. Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Verses 1 through 6, 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now note this passage talks about the importance of, and notice that it also says, therefore I exhort first of all. In other words, a high priority, one of the first things we're to pray for is we're to pray supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority. We're to pray for others, and we're to pray especially for leaders, those persons in positions of government and authority. Why? It says, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. Now, keep in mind, one of the desires in the heart of God is that the gospel be spread all over the world, that the gospel be proclaimed. And keep in mind, one of the reasons why we need to pray for leaders and those who are in authority is because when nations are at peace, when nations are blessed, when it is well in those nations, when those leaders are leading their nations with righteousness and wisdom and grace, it's much easier for the gospel to be spread. But when nations are in turmoil and great difficulty and trouble and wars are going on, it can slow down or hinder the work of the spread of the gospel. So it's our responsibility as believers to pray much for leaders and for those who are in authority, with one of the goals being so that we can live a quiet and peaceful life in our nations, and so that the gospel can be spread, so the kingdom of God can be built and not hindered by the distractions that and the problems that come from people and difficulties and nations in turmoil and going through great difficulty. So it's our responsibility to pray every day for our leaders. We should pray every day for the president, for the vice president, for members of Congress. Pray daily for your the governor of your state, the members of your state legislators. You should pray daily for the mayor and the city aldermen of your local cities and towns. We're to pray for leaders. We're to pray also for spiritual leaders. You should pray daily for your pastor and pray for bishops in the body of Christ and leaders, missionaries, persons that are leaders and in positions of leadership within the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ all over the world. We should pray daily for them because they too very much need our prayers, and we all need one another's prayer, so we should pray much for each other. Pray much for your family members, for extended family members. Pray for co-workers on your job. Pray for people that you know in your community. Pray for your neighbors in your neighborhood. Pray for the children, your children and the children in the schools that they go to. Praying much for people and places and communities and extended families. Praying for all of these concerns, so all of us have a lot to pray for. Now, if you're listening and you're thinking to yourself, man, that sure is a lot of ground to have to cover when it comes to prayer. That's exactly the case. But the reality is, again, remember, God commands us. He says, pray without ceasing. In other words, we're to trust God to help us to learn how to live in a prayer mode continually, because there's so much that we really do and can accomplish as we pray. Remember this. As one minister put it, he said, when we work, but when we pray, God works. And keep in mind, it's so wise for us to live a prayer-filled life for many reasons, but one of the very important reasons is this. You know, when you and I work, we're doing our work, and that has its place. But when you pray, God works. Now, you might think, well, why do we have to pray for God to work? Well, that's one of the great mysteries of life, but the reality is that's God's business. Somehow or another, God has connected us to prayer, and somehow or another, he's connected himself to prayer, and there are many things God will do as God's people pray. Things that won't happen and things that won't get done, there are those things. They won't happen unless God's people pray. Now, again, if you want to know, well, why in the world would God set prayer up to where, again, if he doesn't have people that pray, that certain things don't get done? Well, that's one of those questions that when you get to heaven, you can ask the Lord. I don't know the answer to that question, but the reality is God has connected himself somehow or another supernaturally to prayer. So when God's people pray, the work of God and the will of God can get done and will be done in the earth. When God's people don't pray, there are things that God wants to be done that won't happen, at least not in his timing, if God's people don't pray. So it's very important that you and I, each of us, take our prayer lives very seriously and recognize that all of our prayers make a difference every single day. Father, thank you again for every believer listening. Thank you for the way that you use the prayer life of every single believer. And thank you for the opportunity you have each of us to be able to affect the corner of the world where you've called us to. Lord, help us to be a people, empower us to be a people that take our prayer lives very, very seriously. Thank you for how that you're teaching us how to pray without ceasing, and that you're guiding us to live in a prayer mode and teaching us how to live in a prayer mode continually. Help us, Lord, to take it upon ourselves to be very, very serious about our prayer lives as well. We thank you, and we praise you for the privilege of being a people given to prayer. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1, a powerful story about prayer is found. 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah her husband said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat, and why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed to the Lord, and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant, and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him. And she said, Let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked for him from the Lord. Now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, Not until the child is weaned, then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever. Verses 1 through 21 of 1 Samuel chapter 1, a powerful story. Let me go ahead and just finish that passage, because it's such a powerful story, and we'll pick up after that. So Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word. Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she'd weaned him. And when she'd weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bulls, one ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshiped the Lord there. Again, all of 1 Samuel chapter 1. And we're coming into our break, but we'll pick up there and share some more insight about this powerful chapter about prayer, specifically in the life of Hannah, a great woman of God, and Samuel, one of the great prophets of the Old Testament as well. And keep in mind, too, I want you to remember this very important truth. God's word, again, has insight and wisdom to help us in every part of life. Now, let me just go ahead and say, you know, I think of this. This chapter is a powerful chapter, but it has much insight. Keep in mind, Hannah, a young mom, she simply wanted to have a son. She had a longing in her heart, and she cried about it, and she felt bad about it, but it wasn't until she went to God in prayer and gave this matter to the Lord that she got peace, and also she received the answer to her prayer as well. She came to God in prayer and sought God's answer, and God gave her the answer, gave her the desire of her heart. She asked for a son, and God gave her the desire of her heart. Keep in mind, there are many things in life that you will never receive until you go to God and ask Him for them. Again, the Bible says, ask and you receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. It's important to keep in mind, again, God has called us to be a people that bring the desires, the concerns on our hearts in prayer to Him. Hannah brought that desire to God and God answered her prayer. You and I have many things in our lives that God wants to give to us, but we'll never receive them until we bring them to God and ask for Him, ask those things for Him in prayer. We'll pick up on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We look today at the topic of a life given to God in prayer. We'll be right back. Covenant Church, My Heart Cries. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic of a life given to God in prayer. And we've been looking at the passage, 1 Samuel chapter 1, a powerful story about a young wife by the name of Hannah, who was wise enough to, instead of continue to cry about her problem and be upset about her problem and grieve about her problem, she finally took it to God in prayer. And after she took it to God in prayer, God heard her prayer, answered her prayer, and gave her the desire of her heart, blessed her with a son, and she dedicated her son back to the Lord in prayer. Now keep in mind, again, many important life lessons that we can draw from this powerful chapter. Like Hannah, you and I, there are many issues or concerns or desires in our hearts and our lives that we really need to go to God in prayer with and ask Him for. And after we ask Him for them, we will receive. But many of those same desires, if you never ask God for them, many of these things will never, ever come into our possession. Why? Because somehow or another God has connected Himself to prayer. And there are many things in your life that unless you go to God in prayer and ask Him for them, you'll never, ever receive them. The fact is, I think it's helpful to look at it this way, that in a sense, there are many gifts that God has in heaven that He's waiting on us to ask Him for them. And He's ready to give them to us. But until we ask Him for them in prayer, we're never going to get. And if you don't ever go to God in prayer and ask Him for these desires that are in your heart, they're never going to come to you. It's important that you understand that some blessings come to us just because God is a good God and He blesses us with them. But other blessings will only come if you go to Him in prayer and ask Him for them. And if you don't ask, you'll never, ever get them. So it's important that you take prayer very seriously. Many of the goals in your life, the dreams that are in your life, many of the opportunities that come before you, again, You'll receive them as you go to God and give them to God in prayer. And that will be the only way that they will come into your possession. Let us be a people who will pray much so that we can receive much as well. Keep in mind, on any given day, God is ready to do more for anybody that will take the time to pray, seriously pray and ask him for his help, his guidance, his resolution to situations and circumstances we face. On any given day, God's ready to do more for you than someone else who doesn't take the time to pray. So keep in mind, if you want to ask yourself the question, did I miss a blessing yesterday by not praying? Well, the answer is yes. Am I going to miss certain blessings today if I don't pray and ask God for them? The answer is yes again. Will I miss blessings tomorrow because I fail to pray tomorrow about certain situations or concerns? The answer once again, yes, yes, yes. There are many things that will only come from God in his response to our prayers. Don't take that lightly. It's so important that we be people who live lives given to prayer. So my challenge and encouragement to you is to pray much about your life. Like Hannah, take the desires of your heart to God in prayer and ask him for what you stand in need of. I want to share with you once again, my email is jparker@afa.net. In order for you to email us, we'd like for you to email to get the prayer tool that we call Kingdom Prayers. Again, it has several prayers in it that I would encourage and challenge you to pray every single day. The first one listed is a salvation prayer. If you're listening and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is a good day to get saved. You can simply email me and I'd be glad to send you this. And you simply listen to the wisdom behind this prayer and you pray this prayer from your heart and the Lord will save you today. I hope you'll email me to do just that. Or you can pray it as a rededication prayer, recommitting your heart to the Lord. How often should we recommit our hearts to the Lord? Well, we'd be wise to recommit our hearts to the Lord every single day. It also mentions the Lord's Prayer found in Matthew chapter 6. Now, it's in everyone's Bible, Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 15. But we're wise to pray the Lord's Prayer every single day. Let's take a moment to pray it now. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Keep in mind, it doesn't take but about a minute, maybe a minute and 10 seconds to pray the Lord's Prayer. But keep in mind, it's a wise prayer to pray every day with yourself and your family. Husbands and wives, you're wise to pray it together every single day. It's fruitful whether you perceive it to be or not. And keep in mind, it's the prayer the Lord taught his disciples to pray as well. The next prayer listed is the prayer of Jabez. It's a wise prayer for every believer to pray it over ourselves every single day. Let's take a moment to do that. Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, bless me indeed. Expand my territory. Place your hand anew upon me and keep me from evil that I may not cause pain. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, doesn't take but a few seconds to pray it, but every day you pray it, God is going to answer it. And keep in mind, it's a wise prayer for you and I to pray daily. And it's a prayer that as we pray it, God will use you more and more to get his will and his work done in the world. In fact, it's a prayer that literally helps you to accomplish more and more in the kingdom of God every day you pray it. And remember this, God is looking for people that will pray prayers like the prayer of Jabez. Why? Because many times God will use us after we ask him to use us more. And if you ask him to use you even more, he'll answer that prayer. And if you ask him to use you even more, he'll answer that prayer. Why? Because God desires that we ask to be used. And if we ask, he will answer. It's a prayer he'll answer every single day. The next prayer listed on the Kingdom Prayers prayer tool is praying the Ten Commandments. Now, this is a wise prayer for us to pray in our individual lives, but parents, we're wise to take time to help our children pray it every single day as well. Let's pray the Ten Commandments prayer together. Lord, thank you for today. Help us today to put you first in everything that we do. Help us, Lord, to not make or have any graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us, Lord, to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us, Lord, to tell the truth. Help us, Lord, to not covet. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Now keep in mind, it's very important that you remember this. When you pray a prayer like the Ten Commandments, it's a very fruitful and a very powerful prayer to pray, because the Holy Spirit knows how to help us keep every one of these commands. And we're very wise to ask God for help, because without his help, we're not going to do it. So I would challenge you to pray the Ten Commandments, you and parents with your children, every single day. Remember, all of these just take a few moments. None of them take a long time. In fact, praying through all of them doesn't take but just a few minutes. But it's so fruitful to do just that. Again, if you wanted to get the prayer tool entitled Kingdom Prayers that I'm sharing from, simply email me at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. The next daily prayer listed on the Kingdom Prayers prayer tool is a daily prayer for wisdom, which is similar to the prayer that Solomon prayed in 1 Kings chapter 3. Let's take a moment to pray that one as well. Thank you, Lord, for today. Lord, on this day, give me wisdom to be the person that you want me to be in the name of Jesus. Help and guide me by your Holy Spirit to do and be the best I can be. Thank you for your wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, just as Solomon asked for wisdom to be a good king, we're wise to ask God for wisdom to be the best at whatever it is God has called us to do as well. Then there's the prayer that Isaiah prayed in Isaiah chapter 6. It's a simple prayer, short one, but it's a wise prayer. In Isaiah 6, here's a prayer similar to Isaiah's prayer. Here I am, Lord, today. I'm available. Send me this day to do your will. Use me to do many miracles this day for your glory. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, it only takes a few moments, but it's a very wise prayer to pray every day. And remember this, God responds to the prayer of his people when we ask God to use us more and more. And prayers like the prayer of Jabez and the prayer of Isaiah are prayers exactly for that. We're asking God to use us more and more to get his will done. The next prayer listed is a prayer very similar to the prayer the Apostle Paul prayed right after he got saved. When he first got saved, his first question was, "Who are you, Lord?" But his second question was not only a question, but it was also prayer. His question was, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" So we're wise to pray that every day. Let's take a moment to pray it now. Here I am, Lord. What do you want me to do this day? Help me to fully do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, why is it important to pray that prayer? Because on every given day, God has a will for you. He has specific tasks he has for each one of us to do that outside of looking to God to guide us, you and I will miss them. But on the other hand, God has a very specific prescribed will for each and every one of his children. So we're wise to ask God to help us to do those things. Because again, as I said, without his help, we're typically going to miss that. So we need to ask, we're wise to ask him for his help. The next prayer is just simply listen to it, and I think it'll bless and encourage you. Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Deliver us from this present evil that we're facing today. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. It's a prayer that was prayed similar to a prayer prayed by King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Verse 12, because in many instances in our lives, you and I, we don't know what to do. But if we keep our eyes on the Lord and look to him, he knows exactly what to do. And then the final prayer listed is the Psalm for prayer, Psalm 91. Now, remember, this is a wise prayer for you and I to pray every day. It's a prayer for divine protection. And the fact is, we live in a crazy world. We live in a dangerous world, but no one knows how to protect us like God does. So we are wise to pray it every day over ourselves, over our families, over our workplaces, over our schools as well. Let's take time to pray it now. Lord, today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today I say to the Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress. Our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. And so we are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked. Because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High our habitation, no evil will befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash a foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent we trample underfoot. Because we have set our love upon you, therefore you deliver us. You set us on high because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us with long life. You satisfy us and show us your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, that was a prayer based on Psalm 91. And again, I would challenge every single listener to pray that prayer every single day. Now, again, if you're a listener and you haven't emailed me to get a copy of this prayer tool entitled Kingdom Prayers, again, it's several prayers, in fact, specifically 9 prayers listed that either come straight from the Word of God or that they're based on the Word of God. Please email us at jparker@afa.net to get it. And remember, it's a tool for you to use in your individual walk with the Lord, but also a very good tool for you to use in your family and your home. Parents, I would encourage you to get it to not only use for yourself, but also put it in the hands of your children and help your children to pray through these every single day. Remember, you can go through all of them in probably about 6 to 7 minutes. It doesn't take long, but they're so productive to pray. And as I said, they're prayers that come either straight from the Word of God or they're based on the wisdom of God's Word as well. I hope you'll take time to do that. So again, my email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. I'd be glad to send it to you. Use it for yourself. Use it in your home. Share it with your coworkers. Share it with fellow church members. In fact, share it with any and everyone the Lord encourages you to share it with. It's a tool that'll help to empower and encourage any believer's prayer life. I hope you'll do that. Thanks for listening today as we were looking today at the topic, A Life Given to God in Prayer. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.